Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Game on. Thank you so much, Iowa. You, by standing up and being bold and leading with that burden and responsibility you have to be first, you have taken the first step of taking back this country.
His surge is so new, most of you probably didn't even recognize the voice, since I didn't introduce Rick Santorum speaking after the Iowa caucus last night. But folks, the road from Iowa to New Hampshire runs along Route 90, which means it passes through Albany. And this afternoon, Governor Cuomo delivers his State of the State address, coming off a year of political dominance in Empire State politics. We will be live chatting the State of the State at 1:30 this afternoon, me and others from our politics team at our Empire blog. That's our New York State politics blog. So mark this down, empire.wnyc.org for 1:30 this afternoon. You can also watch as we stream the speech live right there, 1:30 this afternoon, empire.wnyc.org. Me and others from our politics team live chatting with you during the Cuomo State of the State. WNYC's Bob Henley is here to talk Cuomo, the presidential race on the Republican side, and more. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
And Chris Christie has endorsed Romney, as we all know, and even declined to rule out being his running mate. This is Chris Christie from just last month.
If Governor Romney comes to me and wants to talk to me about that, we'll have a full, complete conversation about it, and then Mary Pat and I will make a decision about what we want to do with our future. But my view is, I think if you fast forward the tape to a year from now, I think it's going to be President-elect Romney and some other vice president-elect and the Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey.
All right. He said he would do it, and then he watered it down right away. How possible do you think a Romney-Christie ticket is?
I think that we're going to see that with Santorum's rise in Iowa, which was really, if you know Rick Santorum, it shouldn't have come as a surprise because he took on a seven-term incumbent congressman to get his political career rolling, beat him with even though a 3-1 financial disadvantage. Same thing with Wofford, an incumbent, for his first time for the U.S. Senate seat. The thing about Chris Christie is that
And let me just say that I'm not surprised that Rick Santorum won in part by going to every one of the 99 counties in the state
right.
of Iowa.
He knocked on 25,000 doors in the House race.
When Rick Santorum was in the United States Senate, he came on this show multiple times, including coming to visit our studios here in Lower Manhattan. When he was a senator from Pennsylvania, he had no particular reason to come on a local New York radio show. Other than that, he really believed in his message. He wanted to get out his views. He wanted to represent the Republican caucus in the United States Senate. And he wanted to have that discussion with me
right.
and with the American people. And that's who Rick Santorum is.
Right. I think that for Romney, this is going to be difficult patch ahead because you know, if you add up all the other candidates, it's 3-1. They want somebody else other than Romney. Where Chris Christie is like the right flank guarantor, hopefully, for Romney forces, is that he is right to life, socially conservative, and he managed to get elected in a state that has traditionally been counted in the blue column as one of the most liberal. So from that standpoint, I think you're going to see even more of Chris Christie, and no doubt he's probably going to take credit because that's the kind of guy, that's the way he rolls, for those 8 votes. He's going to say they somehow came from New Jersey, Brian.
They came from New Jersey to volunteer. No, they were being paid by all this outside PAC money for Romney. I don't know. But if this race starts to go long, does Rick Santorum have a snowball's chance in New York or New Jersey?
I think that it's hard to look ahead, but he has also been a pragmatist. It's important to note that historically, like he backed Arlen Specter up, even though that wasn't an ideological pick when Specter was looking for a lifeline.
One of the most moderate Republicans
right.
before he switched to Democrat.
Exactly. He's also a bit of an iconoclast. as a House member, he was one of the seven that was driving the push to bring sunlight to the House banking scandal. He has been for the minimum wage. So he has this ability to kind of go into the populist drift. He's going to emphasize, as he had already, the self-made nature of his own background, working his way through law school. And he's going to try to contrast that with Romney, the kind of, you know, silver spoon in the mouth person who was going into the family business of politics. And so we're going to see an odd mix of a kind of populist, Catholic, conservative social point of view. And that's going to be interesting to watch it play out.
You could see a Romney-Santorum presidential ticket. I realize I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but we were talking about Romney Christie. Santorum brings the evangelicals from around the country, many of them in the South, many of them, as we saw in Iowa, in swing states in the Midwest. He also comes from Pennsylvania, which is a huge swing state. And even though he lost his last Senate race big time, so he has a history of losing as well as winning in Pennsylvania, it's still Pennsylvania. I definitely could see that scenario.
Well, and also you will set up a very sharp, dramatic contrast between President Obama, who's very much in the pro-choice camp. And also I think what will be interesting to see is at that point, where does the Democratic Party go under the leadership of President Obama on something like gun control? Because, of course, Santorum is hard right there, too.
All right. How about Ron Paul? Could he get the same 21% in New York or New Jersey that he got in Iowa? This is a lot. We should say, of course, everybody knows that Ron Paul has been running for president forever. But in 2008, he tended to get like 7 or 8% everywhere. Now he got 21.5% in Iowa. Is that going to be replicated?
I think that in Iowa, there's such a reliance on committed organizers that he probably had an advantage there. You have to be dug in. It's really micro-granular organizing. I think that he is challenging some of the ideological notions of, because when it comes to big stroke issues like national defense, America in the world, the role of the government and the individual, Paul challenges really what is a bipartisan consensus about those big stroke issues. And for a war-weary nation, we're finding some odd convergence with the left and right, hearing something in his anti-corporatist, anti-Federal Reserve, and anti-militarist and intervention stance, where actually we saw with President Obama and President Bush a kind of continuity.
And I got to tell you, for people who want to dismiss Ron Paul as from some wacky wing of the Republican Party or of his own planet, when we were doing live coverage of the Iowa caucuses last night, I took calls from Ron Paul supporters, and some of them were from the small government libertarian wing who, you know, like Paul because he more than anybody else really wants to diminish the size of government in terms of domestic programs. And I took calls from people from the anti-war wing or the drug legalization wing,
right,
who really love that part of Ron Paul's libertarianism. And there is a strain out there. That is a coalition. It may not get him the presidency, but that is some kind of meaningful coalition of Americans.
Well, and I think, as in the history of Debs and other contenders, we see that these individuals who stand on their own principle and their own lights have an impact on the national debate that goes often beyond their own political ambitions.
All right. We were here to talk about the state of the state address, how easy it is for us to get off back off on national politics, which
right,
we'll keep talking about
right,
every day on this show. But today is the state of the state. Andrew Cuomo, let's review his first year. How did he do in 2011?
Well, by all accounts, it was a very strong performance. I mean, he did have the advantage of following up on the Gilbert and Sullivan combo of Governor Spitzer and Governor Patterson. So contrast is important in politics. He certainly had to project a sense of momentum. And as we saw with the recently concluded agreement about reframing the state's tax code, he got an agreement almost overnight, apparently. But like, you know, like some very good math students, he doesn't show his work. So what we saw was the tableau, the leadership tableau of three men in a room, Assembly Speaker Schiller, Silver, and Dean Scalise, Republican leader in the Senate. And they basically reframed the tax code for New York State in a 72-hour period of time. It did tip its hat, this reform, to what Speaker Silver had been talking about having the wealthiest households pay more. But it certainly didn't go all the way as the most progressive members of the Democratic Assembly wanted. And it does rejigger the tax code so that, according to the governor, it reduces the tax load for middle-class New Yorkers to levels that haven't been seen since the 1950s. And, of course, there's gay marriage. There's a series of things where the states seem to be stuck. And Governor Andrew Cuomo got it moving forward.
Now, Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker who you mentioned, is the next biggest power broker in the state. He has probably the most ability to stop anything that Governor Cuomo wants to do, if he wants to. By coincidence, not. I got a press release in my inbox today from Speaker Silver's office, and I almost never get press releases from Speaker Silver's office, but they emailed me among, you know, a billion other people in the media, Speaker Silver News. And it says at 10:30, he was hosting a brunch reception. At 12:20, he convenes the Assembly's 2012 legislative session. And at 1:30, aha, he provides remarks at Governor Cuomo's 2012 State of the State message. So Sheldon Silver speaks first.
Well, it's a protocol of introducing the governor. And the ideal here is to continue to set the agenda and define the problems. Now, while all this is happening, Governor Cuomo did get going these regional economic development councils. But, Brian, the state of New York is in a whole lot of hurt. Even as Cuomo attempts to try to reframe the direction of the state, we're just seeing poverty and near poverty continuing to increase. The Fiscal Policy Institute, in a November report, laid out that in upstate communities, Albany, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, we're seeing childhood poverty between 43% to 51%. Here in the city, childhood poverty is just below a third. I mean, even as we're trying to change the dynamic for the state's economy, the ravages of the recession continue to register.
The governor is expected to announce a panel to look into what he says is the lack of accountability in the education system. Does that mean we're going to see Andrew Cuomo versus the teachers unions like we see Chris Christie versus the teachers unions?
There's no doubt that, you know, his first State of the State address, Cuomo laid it out just basically saying that New York State spent more than any other state in the nation, but ranked 34 out of the 50 in terms of results. He's going to return to that. I think he's going to. We saw that recently the Bloomberg administration and the teachers union were not able to come up with a kind of standard that the teachers could get behind. Now, certainly, the governor has a big stick of this momentum, and he's kind of demonstrated. I mean, look what happened with the public employees union. He has promised to drive harder bargains, and indeed, he's done that. And so this new panel, you know, that's we'll have to see how it shapes up. But he's also taking advantage of a national moment. We've talked about this before in the program. We have President Barack Obama, a Democrat, Arne Duncan, his Secretary of Education, very much aligned with Forces for Change, like Governor Cuomo. So, you know, he's going to put there is certainly a carrot. There's tens of millions of dollars that are at stake if New York State can't come to terms with this issue of teacher accountability.
Anything else? People tell me he may get specific, which is unusual for the State of the State address, on some kind of health policy agenda. Maybe he'll talk about hydrofracking.
The big issue here, of course, is what happens to the $7 billion that the city and some the 57 other counties of New York have to pony up every year. Unlike other states, we have put, since Nelson Rockefeller, the burden for this rapidly exploding program, which is also part of the fallout of the recession.
Medicaid, healthcare for the poor.
$7 billion annually. It's possible, according to Steve Aquaria, who I interviewed, who's with the New York City Association of Counties, that there's this rare alignment where between the proposals for Medicaid reform proposed by Governor Cuomo and President Obama's Affordable Health Care Act that kicks in 2014, that actually the counties and local governments could see significant relief. That is, they wouldn't be on the hook for that money. That in itself would have a dramatic effect on providing tremendous budget relief. Now, of course, there's a major issue about what to do with the thousands of people in the city and state that administer this system. But there are some forces for change aligned here that we haven't seen in a generation.
WNYC's Bob Henley. Are you on this live chat today?
I think so.
All right. So, folks, you can hear Governor Cuomo's State of the State address today at 1:30, only on our AM station, AM 820 WNYC. Or you can view the speech. We will stream live video of it and have a live chat, including Bob Henley and myself and others from our politics team, on our New York State Politics blog, which is called Empire. So make a note of that for 1:30 this afternoon. It's empire.wnyc.org. If you want a live chat with us during the Cuomo State of the State, empire.wnyc.org at 1:30 this afternoon. Bob Henley, chat with you then.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC coming up next. One woman's struggle to work her way out of poverty in the Bronx. Very interesting article in The Nation about the obstacles facing someone who's trying to do everything right. We'll take your experiences that may be similar to hers on the phone. And then your reactions to the new toll hikes that took effect New Year's Day on the New Jersey Turnpike. Is that a tax hike? Stay with us.